beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is the key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
That go out on WRMI International Miami
And then we have three broadcasts that go out to Radio Africa on 100,000-watt superstations. And we have all of North Texas, the DFW and all of North Texas area. Abilene, we broadcast out there in Jerusalem, Shame and the Change Movement. And, of course, in Oklahoma City, we broadcast out of Oklahoma City to all of Oklahoma and to Nashville. And you might ask yourself, well, why are you broadcasting out in Abilene and why are you broadcasting in Nashville, them great big places where there's so many churches of Christ? Well, some of them have drifted off the path, and we've got to speak to them and get them back, help get them back on the path. I've got the first Herald of Truth broadcast that went out in 1952. And it sounds like the Main Street Church of Christ today. But the Herald of Truth in Abilene and all of the churches today, the big fancies, are entirely different. There's what's going on that's called the change movement. And they think change is better. And of course, we think the old ways are better. Open with me in your Bibles to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to get your mind caught up with last week. We'll begin reading in verse 3. And he spake many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed some seeds by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Verse 5. And some fell on stony places, for they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, verse 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and Mark calls him Satan, and Luke calls him the devil in the same parable, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, right away, with joy receiveth it. 21. Yet he hath no root within himself, and endureth for a while. But when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, this guy has not rooted and grounded himself in the word. As Peter says, as newborn babes seek ye the sincere milk of the word, ariseth because of the word, and he is offended. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, sin, chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. His ground has not been weeded. There's still weeds growing in his ground. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. See, that's really important that you understand the word of God, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. In other words, Luke says in Luke 8:15 that he receives the seed into good and honest heart, having heard the word, keep it. So it's really important that you be a good-hearted disciple and that you hear the word and not only be hearers only, but that you be doers of the word, that you keep it. The fruit of the scripture bringeth forth fruit. Now notice this verse again. Let's read it, Matthew 13:23. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bringeth forth fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. Fruit in Scripture is always two things. Number one, souls. And number two, Christian character. Christ-like, being Christ-like. In John chapter 15, verse 1, John says, I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman.
every branch in me, not some of them, but every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So the first issue is souls. Are we a soul winner? Can you look to anybody sitting on the road beside you that you can point to that you've helped to live forever? Can you think of anybody that you've helped disciple? Have you got a flock? A lot of people would like to take my place and be the preacher one of these days. Well, if you've been here any amount of time at all, you need to have a flock. Where is your flock? Where is the souls that you've brought to the Lord? And the second group is Christian character. You can't have one and not have the other. Now, you can get an A in one and a C in the other, or you can get an A in one and a D in the other, but you got to have them both, and you got to have passing grades on both of them. You got to be both a soul winner, and you got to have Christian character. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's all kinds of little windows at the top there that says click here for sermons, click here for written lessons. You can click there. There's 1,000 written lessons. There's thousands of sermons. There's thousands of links where it says links and resources. There's all kinds of college-level books and commentaries and all kinds of things that you can go to and study, archaeology and all kinds of things. So wherever you're at in the world today, we want to encourage you to tune in same time, same station next week and go to our website and learn about the Bible and about God. From the different amount of fruit produced by the good ground, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold, we may learn that not all brethren who are sound in the faith, believers, are equally fruitful. They all hear the word of God, they all understand, and they all bring forth fruit, but not in the same amount. The different degrees are partially by their situation and circumstances in life, not allowing them the opportunities of receiving and doing good, and partially by a lack of mental capacity. Some people don't have the mental capacity to do that. For every mind is not equally improvable. In other words, God can't improve all of us to the same degree, but he can improve all of us. He just can't improve all of us to the PhD level. That's just the way that it is. In soul women, much has to do with the experience of the individual, being able to read people, having a pleasing personality, and even more than an individual's educational degree. Great professor this week at a well-respected Brotherhood University gave me a half a dozen reasons why our radio broadcast would not work for them. If I'd have had the brother under affirmation and had him sitting in the witness box, I would have asked him how many people has he personally discipled and led to Christ and baptized into Christ. See, you can be a professor at a university and never taught nobody. Great book learning and degrees are often twiddly-dee-dees and so on. On the other hand, under cross-examination, I'd be forced to admit that he would merit an A-plus in Christian character while my grade would be barely passing, and that only solely to the righteousness of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's some natural rules. Every seed bears after its own kind by according to who planted the seed, and whether the person is going to be an evangelist or not. Eddie Frazier is a prime example.
Eddie Frazier was taught in this church. He was made a minister in this church. He's gone and baptized 18,000 people since he's left this church. I have baptized thousands of people, not hundreds, thousands. Not counting the radio, not counting what you knew, I've baptized thousands of people before I ever came here, 22 years ago. I have a lot of experience in teaching people and baptizing people. A minute ago, I said a lot has to do with pleasing personality. Several years ago, I met a guy at the Dixie House in Lakewood. We began talking. He was a powerful individual, rich individual, and was very interested in social work like we do, and loved the Lord the way that he had been raised to love the Lord. He had been raised a Baptist, and he came to church here. He came to worship 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And he began to agree with the things that I was gently teaching him and bringing out in lessons every day. I knew that he was here. I was very aware of him being here. And I was trying through preaching to teach him over a period of time while teaching the entire congregation. That's really the way the evangelist does it. Well, he decided he'd come to Sunday school one Sunday. And the first Sunday that he came to Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher, whoever it was back then, said, all Baptists is going to hell. Everybody that's the biggest Baptist that ever was, oh, so-and-so, he's a false teacher because he don't baptize anybody, and every Baptist is going to hell. That guy got up in the middle of that Sunday school class, walked out of here, and he had never been back. And every time he's run into me since in Lakewood, he won't speak to me. Now, a guy can be a jackass. It don't mean that you got to call him one. You got to have a pleasing personality if you're going to lead people to Christ. You can't tell people just exactly straight up every time exactly like it is, or they're not going to sit and listen to you. Some people had rather win the argument than win the soul. I want to win the soul. I don't care about the argument. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put faith forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the church, is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. Now the man we're going to find out in verse 37 is Jesus. Jesus came into the world and he sowed good seed. The seed is the word of God. He sowed the pure word of God. You have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. He preached under the law of Moses. After his resurrection, we live under the law of grace. In the Christian church age, there are two different things here. You have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth to understand these things. Another parable put thee forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. God's method in managing the affairs of the world and the church is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. The world may be termed the field of God. The entire earth can be termed the field of God. But particularly the church, those that profess to believe in God through Christ or his field or his farm, among whom God sows nothing but the pure, unadulterated word of God, the truth. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I think we got a picture up here of tares that we can throw up here. Now, tares are called darnel in the Greek, is a Greek word, and it's false wheat. It looks exactly like wheat. It's a counterfeit wheat. It's sabotage. It's just bad wheat. It's no good. Notice, but while men slept, when the professors at the colleges were lukewarm and teaching JEPD theories, when the worldly successful businessmen were appointed to the eldership, then they became bishops instead of shepherds. When the pastor's rulers became rulers instead of ministers, instead of evangelists, instead of servants, then his enemies came and sowed tares, darnel, degenerate, real legitimate wheat. The righteous and the wicked are always mingled in the churches of Christ. And with today's change movement, whole congregations are fake and false and counterfeit disciples of Christ. Some of them still have the name on the outside. And you go in the door and there's a piano or a rock and roll band and all kinds of things. They ought to be honest. They need to drop the divine name and just call themselves a church or community church or whatever they want to be. They are just like the children of Israel. They want to be like the Philistines and their neighbors around. Darnel usually grows in the same production zones as wheat. It's considered a weed. The similarity between these two plants is just amazing that it looks so much like wheat. The French word for darnel is from the Latin inebris, meaning intoxicated, which expresses the drunken nausea that it causes from eating the infected plant, which can be fatal. It can kill you. The French name is from timulus, or drunk. And so if somebody comes and throws tares in your wheat, and you go ahead and you have your crop grow to maturity, and you get the crop, you grind the wheat, you make bread out of it, and people eat it, you're going to get sick, you're going to get drunk, and some of you, it's going to kill you. Sounds much like false religion, doesn't it? The darnel counterfeit wheat for those hearts are not right with God. He who sows this degenerate wheat among God's people here is styled as the enemy. He may be considered also as the sower who permits them to be sown and spring up through his negligence. If you're a preacher of the church and you let something be taught that shouldn't be taught, and through your negligence you allow that, you allow darnel to be taught, you're in the congregation that you have oversight of or that you're leading, then woe to you or the elders, the shepherds, the preachers, the ministers, the evangelists that permit souls under their care to be offended and driven off by corrupted error or unsound teaching or just plain absolute stubbornness. Christ refers to the origin of evil in the church. God sowed good seed in his field in the church, the Word of God. But the enemy, the devil, came and corrupted the good seed and caused it to degenerate. Christ also refers to the state in which the church and the world shall be found when he comes to judge it. The righteous and the wicked shall be permitted to grow together till Christ comes to make a full and final separation. Look at Matthew 13:25 again. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. 13:26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. The way that you know it is that darnel has black seed and wheat has brown seed. And that's the way that you know that there's darnel in there among the wheat. And so if you just had a few of them, a farmer would go through there and weed them out, get them out of there before he harvested. He wouldn't harvest that kind of wheat. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Satan has a shoot of iniquity for every shoot of grace that God has. When God revives his work, Satan revives his also. It's no marvel, therefore, if we find scandals arising suddenly to discredit the work of God. We had people around here 6 months ago saying, I was trying to sell the building to where I could run off with the money. Let me tell you something. I'm 71 years old, and I don't know what I'd spend the money on. I really don't. Anything that's worldly that I would spend the money on would kill me. I mean, I've had a five-way bypass. You really don't think that I'm subject to wild women and alcohol and drugs anymore, because all of that stuff would kill me. So it shouldn't surprise us that liars rise up, because that's what the devil is. He's a liar and the father of all lies, and his children are liars. So the servants of the household, Matthew 13:27, so the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Sirs, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tarried?" A faithful and vigilant evangelist fails not to discover the evil, nor to lament it, to cry over it, to be sad because of it. I'm telling you, I was sad when I found out where the rumor came from. I was really sad to find out where the rumor came from, because I never dreamed that that person would do that. And then the one that carried the mail the loudest, I was really the saddest about, because I never dreamed that that person would stab me in the back. But there are others that were out of work and that we've helped. And what do? They forget all about how church helps them. Had a guy the other day borrowed $3 from me back here in the back and then called me a hypocrite 5 minutes later. He was pretty smart. He got the $3 first. He got the $3 first. So if he'd called me a hypocrite, he'd never got the $3. Now, a hypocrite's an actor. And if any of you think I'm an actor, we'll have a vote right now. Faithful evangelist will come to God in prayer in order to find out the cause of the darnel being in the field among his flock, and to receive from him proper guidance as to what to do. Verse 28. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. And he said to them, "An enemy's done this." And the servant said to him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" See, an enemy's done this in the interest of Satan to introduce hypocrisies and wicked persons into not only the churches of Christ, but into the denominations in order to discredit the work of God and to disfavor God is Satan's design. But Jesus gave us the formula for all of this. Matthew 7:15. "Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Why would I steal money from this place when y'all offered to pay me when I first started preaching? And if I could have taken not half pay, but quarter pay, if I'd have taken just $500 a week, some of y'all make $500 a week, don't you? Those of you that are working make $500 a week. Some of you make $1,000 a week. If I'd have took just half pay, $500 a week, in 10 years, I would have had $500. In 20 years, I would have had over $500,000 coming. So if I wanted some money, all I'd have to do is ask y'all. Now, of course, you don't have $500,000, do you? Why is it, do you think, that you have radio programs? Because nobody here gets paid. Why do you think Larry back here doesn't get paid? Well, Larry used to be homeless. Larry saw good done here. Larry wanted to help feed the poor and help feed people in situations just like him. And Larry has worked here for 7 or 8 years and doesn't get a penny. He doesn't get any money. Why do you think Fred here drives a van for nothing? I mean, you got to hire people in Victor.
Vicky and Diane's the secretary. Why do you think these people do this? Well, because they see good done here. And by their fruits you shall know. By their fruits you shall know them. Jesus plainly says that a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. And I'm telling you, we're on 15 radio stations going to all the world today, and that proves, and we don't ask for money, we don't beg for money, and we don't take any when it comes. It just goes in to buy more radio time. If you guys want to help broadcast us another time to the whole wide world, you can sure do it. This is the place you can do it. So by their fruits ye shall know. Either we're bringing forth good fruit here and feeding the poor, or we're bringing forth bad fruit here. One of the two. You ought to be able to tell, and I think you all know. Now the darnel has been sowed, and of course the apostles all warned us about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, in the Christian age, the entire Christian age, it doesn't say last day, it says latter times, the last times. The first times was the patriarchal age, creation, the beginning of the law of Mount Sinai. The second age was the law to the cross. The third age, the latter times, are from the cross to the end of time. That during the entire Christian age, that the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Spirit of God spoke in a loud voice to Paul and told him. He spoke it expressly. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a thought in his mind. The Spirit spoke up and told Paul expressly that in the Christian age, the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the fowls of the air. The devil comes and gets involved, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 3:1. Now, what are those doctrines of devils that the seducing spirits? If you drop down a couple of verses there, it says, forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meat. Two of the famous doctrines of the Roman Church was the celibacy of the priesthood, still is. They got them priests and nuns. And so everybody's supposed to be celibate, but they're not, are they? They're geared for little boys, aren't they? 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. There's a lot of unthankful people in this world. Unholy, without natural affections. They don't have the same affections for their children, as an example, that an animal even has for their children. Truce breakers. That's a person that decides that they were at war with somebody, and then they make peace, and then they break the peace. Truce breakers. False accusers. Listen up there before you accuse anybody of anything. False accusers. Incontent. That's one of the worst things people can do, is not be content. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Well, why would they do that? Well, because they're wicked and evil. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they look like they're godly. I mean, you see them in their robes. You see them in their hats. They got big crosses, they wave incense, they burn that incense. They've got all kinds of robes. The choirs have robes. If anybody will find me the word choir in this book, I'll eat it. I'll eat the book right now. Where did they ever get the idea of that? On and on and on we could go. Having a form of godliness, they look like they're godly, but denying the power thereof. The power of God is the gospel. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. They're of from such, hang around those kind of people. Is that what that says? Did it tell you to hang around those kind of people? What does it tell you to do? Turn away. Don't hang around those kind of people. If you stay in the outhouse long enough, you're going to come out of there smelling really bad. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, among the church, who shall privily, and this word in the Greek, privily, means side by side. For every truth of God, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There'll be a false doctrine that says he that is believeth and is saved should be baptized. For every truth, there's a false teaching. The devil has a false teaching for every truth of God. His whole goal is to change every truth of God into a lie. Of course, some people say, he that is baptized shall someday believe. That's what they say when they baptize those infants. He that's baptized and saved, the baby, shall someday grow up to believe. Now, do you think that's what he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned? Do you think that's what that means? No. It's been twisted. It's been turned around. It's been flipped. Just like a pancake on the grill. It's been flipped. Who shall privily, right alongside, bring in damnable heresies? Notice that these heresies that they bring in, some of them are damnable. Even denying the Lord had brought in and bring upon himself swift destruction. That means sure destruction. Doesn't mean like it's coming right now today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing first they'll come in the last time, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that's a bald-faced lie. That's a bald-faced lie. They forget that there's a flood. Everything hasn't continued since it was from the creation. All of this entire earth used to be one continent. Dry land was one place. And there was once a great big flood that Noah's Ark and all that stuff took place. And those continents have broken apart and drifted apart. How did the Bible know dry land was one place? How did the Bible know that? Well, it was inspired. It knows all things. Things have not continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Notice the clause, without them that we go gather them up. The zeal which is rash to run them out of here, to disfellowship them quick, is such as much to be feared as a total lack of discipline altogether. I've disfellowshipped a lot of people in this church. Violence, I don't tolerate any violence. Cussing out loud from the women and stuff like that, I don't tolerate stuff like that. Acting up, throw fits, stuff like that. You get warned, and immediately if it continues, I get a Christian, I get a witness, and we'll disfellowship you right away. We've got no problem in putting you out of here. Listen, I never really had to get the cop to put anybody out here. I mean, I got a stick, too, if I need one. I've got whatever it takes to exercise discipline in this church. But you know, the guy who started the rumor that I was trying to steal the money and to sell the building and steal the money, I hadn't done nothing. We don't need to run off everybody. That's not what Jesus said. He said, let them grow together until the harvest. We don't have to be quick to disfellowship. Matthew 13:29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather them up, the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. We could have a big division. Churches divide. Y'all know that's one of the worst things that can happen. Churches divide. Half of them say, I'm going to follow Peter. Another says, I'm of Apollos. Another says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of this guy and I'm of that guy. And they divide and they fight and they carry on. That happens all the time in churches. There's false teachers everywhere. One of the biggest churches that used to be out in Irving, I preached there years ago back in the 80s, had 700 members, wonderful church, on their own property, paid for. They get in a new guy right out of college, and he's part of the change movement. And he says, what we want to do is we want to make these changes because we want to win souls. And we prayed about it, and the Lord has led us to believe that here's what we ought to do. We need to bring in guitars and a band and stuff at the big worship service and let the old people have a worship service early and let them sing, and then we'll bring in the young people at the big worship service. Now, we need to pay the band, and we need to do all this stuff, so we're going to borrow some money here on the building. And so within 2 to 3 years, they had lost the building. A denomination came in and bought the building. And then they went and they started meeting in a car lot. 2 or 3 years ago, a lady came here from Tennessee, and she said, I was looking for a church out in Irving under Churches of Christ. I'm down here visiting Tennessee. I'm going to be here for 2 or 3 months. She said, I found one, and I went over there, and there was one couple. She said, I was never so shocked in my whole life, but it wasn't so bad because I sat on the front row, and I was the first one that got a shot at the cup, so I didn't have to slurp after anybody else. And she said, but they really were trying to do it sanitary. They all had a napkin, and they'd take a napkin, and they'd wipe that cup off after it would go down the aisle. And she said, the only problem was they used the same napkin. And she said, so I decided that that wasn't for me, so I went to this other congregation the next Sunday, and I looked it up on the web, and they said traditional worship, 8 o'clock, Sunday school, 9 o'clock, contemporary worship, 11 o'clock. And so she said, well, I probably better go that traditional worship, you know, being a Church of Christ and such as I am. So she went to the traditional worship. She said a guy came walking down the aisle in flip-flops, and he had on them blue jeans that they cut them with razor blades. You know how they look like they're wore out. And he had on an undershirt and long hair. And he came up on the stage, and he sat down on a three-legged stool. I got one up here, a captain's chair, in case I have to sit down. And he sat down on a three-legged chair, and he read three verses and pontificated for about 15 minutes, and that was the worship service. Now, they've gone from 700 members to meeting in the garage of a car lot, and they can't figure it out what they've done wrong. But they got that band, man. They got the drummers going. They're going plenty of rock and roll. In 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partially believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There's going to be heresies arise among us so that y'all will know who are God's men. That's how you know who God's men are. The ones that prevail will be God's men if they've got a backbone. God judges quite otherwise than men of this mixture of good and evil in the church. He knows the good that he intends to produce from it, and how far and how much his patience and long-suffering towards the wicked should extend. Some may be converted. Some of this will lead to further sanctification of the righteous. More people that are righteous will become more holy. Men often persecute a true Christian while they intend only to persecute the wicked. Matthew 13:30. But let both grow together to the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Whoever evangelist, preacher, minister of God should separate from the Church of Christ, ever incorrigible,
unrepentant sinner, according to Matthew 18:15, like I was talking about a few minutes ago, yet he should proceed no further to persecute the person in their body or their goods because they're not sound in the faith. God tolerates him and continues to let him live, and so should men. Those that burned William Tyndale at the stake in 1536 because he translated the Holy Bible into English were tares themselves that rooted up the wheat. 1331. Another parable put he forth in them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. This parable is representative of the progress of the gospel in the world and of the growth of the church in the world. The church had a very small beginning, a mustard seed, a little bitty seed. Church had a very small beginning on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 came to Christ on the day of Pentecost in AD 30. That's nothing compared to 300 million people who lived back then. It also has a small beginning in the grace in your heart and in your soul. The desire that leads the soul to the glory of God may begin and often does with one single good desire, the wish to escape hell. I wanted to escape hell. Does any of y'all want to escape hell? Well, that's one of the reasons I became a Christian. I wanted to escape hell, or a desire to spend eternity with God. I'd like to spend eternity with God. So there's two reasons why I escaped hell. 32, which indeed is the least of all sin, but when it is grown up, the greatest among the herds, it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, in verse 4, it said that the fowls of the air were the devil. So when the mustard seed grows up, the devil is going to come and hang out in the church. He doesn't have two horns and a tail. He looks holy. He acts holy. Some of them is right here among us today. And of course, verse 19 says, and then cometh the wicked one. A mustard seed is the least among all those plants that grow stems and branches and part of the bodies. Becomes a tree. Not only the largest plants are produced from such small trees, but grow to incredible size. So truly birds of the air, just like the devil, comes and hangs out of them. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in a measure of meal, until the whole was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. The property of leaven is to change, to assimilate everything into its own nature. The meal or dough with which it is mixed becomes, all of it becomes leaven and changes the whole soul. And so from one point of view, from the positive point of view, when the grace of Christ starts in your heart, it's going to keep working until it changes your entire heart. If you're really a good-hearted Christian, God intends that the principle to continue until the whole soul is leavened. But also remember that leaven is representative of sin in the Bible. Sin is representative as leaven. And Passover, you had to get all the leaven out of your house. Sin is represented in Passover as being sin. Leaven is representative as being sin. So, in the beginning, real soon, in the church, leaven was sowed in the church, and it's going to continue on until the whole church becomes bad at the end. That's what it's going to be like when it's finally judged, and ain't many of us left. 34. These things spake Jesus to them in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Christ uses parables in order to raise our minds to the thoughts of natural things. 35. That it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been held secret since the foundation of the world. Psalm 78:2, I opened my mouth in parables and uttered dark sayings above. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the houses of the disciples, saying, came to him, saying, declare to us the parable of the tares. Now, we're going to study this more next week, but we will pick up from here next week. Those of you who are ready to become a Christian, now is going to become your opportunity. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can believe and put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. You can repent of your sin. You can be sorry of your sin. You can confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You can march right down here to the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And you can repent of those sins and be baptized into Christ. Won't you come now? If you need to become a Christian, you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and the prayer of the church, won't you come now while we stand and say, you now want to confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus. Amen. You ready to repent of your sins? You want to do better, right? Okay. People in right over here, we're going to baptize you right away. God bless you.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
And in prayer. Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.